Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and it's time for Powering Your Property. This week, we're joined by Desmond Sim, CBRE's Head of Research for Southeast Asia, also Interim Head of Consulting for Singapore, to get insights into the latest property headlines.
Well, according to the latest data from the Urban Redevelopment Authority last week, Singapore's private home price index rose 0.5% in the fourth quarter of 2019, over the prior quarter, faster than the 0.3% flash estimate released on January the 2nd. Well, the private housing market went in two directions last year, Desmond. Prices inched north, a 2.7% rise. The number of sales took a sharp turn south. What could have accounted for the decline in the number of private residential units sold?
Hi, good afternoon. I just need to clarify something. In fact, on the annual statistics, I think 2019 actually outperformed in terms of the number of sales for the new sales. Oh. So in 2019, we clocked around just shy of 10,000, while in 2018, it was just shy of 9,000. So on both grounds, actually, we saw some improvements, basically based on several reasons. I think the key thing is that we saw property price index inched up 2.7. We were not surprised about that because that's on the back of a very robust collective sale market, very bullish government land sales market that we saw 2 to 3 years ago. So when the base price, which is land cost, goes up, no, the selling price has to go up. Right. The key thing is that at the same time, there was a lot of creation of units. The underlying demand seems to be rather resilient, that hangs around 8 to 10,000 units. So we, under the property measures, we seem to see this underlying demand, 9,000, 10,000 units a year. But the key thing is that post-ABSD, the new rulings, I think one key statistics is that we have not seen any developer fully sold their any of the projects. Right. The key thing is that in order to maintain their higher land cost, they are selling projects that are smaller units. So if you have, I mean, when you sell more small units, the giveaway will be, there'll be a creation of some bigger units because there's an average size there you can produce.
Right.
So the bigger units are the ones that are finding a little bit more pressure that they can't sell.
Right. Let's talk about that supply, though, the underlying healthy demand you were talking about. As it in 2019, the total supply was over 52,000 uncompleted private home units, including ECs in the pipeline with planning approval, while over 2,200 units, including ECs, remained unsold, though, in total. So that underlying healthy demand for private residential homes, is it there?
I think it's a blip. No, it's not a massive oversupply because if you look at the unsold inventory, it hovers just north of 30,000. We have seen times that are a bit worse that we saw that it goes 47,000 units. So I think this unsold inventory will never go to zero because development period costs 3 to 4 years. So if every year there's an 8,000 being absorbed, 10,000, so a development period of 3 years, this unsold inventory will probably hover around 25 to 30,000. When it goes below that number, that's where you see land bidding become aggressive. That's where the developers themselves will realize that, hey, my land bank needs to be replenished. So I think there is more units on sale than what demand is. So it's a blip because, as I said, there was a very aggressive land bidding through collective sales to government land sales over the past 3 years. And now it's all coming to fruition. Because let's not forget that real estate is not like a tin of baked beans where you can meet demand immediately. The supply will take 3 to 4 years to come online. So that is the time where the market imbalance is here, where supply tends to outpace demand. So this is a time where I think at the end of the day, more market watchers will be looking at whether this imbalance of supply and demand would put pressure on prices.
Okay. Would you think, though, the levels now are manageable?
I think at 30 over 1,000, they are still manageable. I mean, as I said, we have actually gone out of whack when it goes up close to 50,000. So I think 30,000, there are caution signs being thrown into it, you know, because as I said, no projects has been fully sold out. But at the end of the day, I think it's not to a sign that we'll see any panic.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but there is an oversupply, though,
yeah,
right now in Singapore's private residential market.
There's a slight supply overhang.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward, do you foresee more purchases from HDB upgraders while the HDB resale market showing more liquidity after the introduction of the higher income ceiling and improved subsidies for potential buyers?
Well, I think it's not an immediate effect, but by the end of the day, when the HDB demand pie has been broadened so that we can see more transactions coming in, and those will also create more upgraders. And these upgraders will basically, maybe as a form of social escalation, start to look for the dream home in the private sector. So that would be one of the key demand drivers for your private sector. But yet again, these are the guys who are price sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that goes beyond a million or 1.5 million, they might not touch it. So they remain price sensitive and look for what we call projects that is priced below 1.5 million.
Speaking of things that might affect the market or market activity, what about the Wuhan virus? Might it have some kind of bearing on, say, visitors not coming to show flats, for example? Might it also play a role in dictating price movements, Desmond?
Well, I think all knew what happened during SARS. It basically affects sentiments and all that. And this time around, I think social media, and what's going on seems to be put more, I think, what we call paranoia on a boost, right? So, I think it affects sentiments much more quicker, right? And now what we can see is that I would not deny that this would definitely affect business sentiments over the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're speaking to Desmond Sim, CBRE's Head of Research, Southeast Asia, Interim Head Consulting here in Singapore. Now, figures released by URA last week showed rents of office space in the central region of Singapore eased 3.2% in the fourth quarter of last year over the previous 3 months, a bigger drop compared with a 0.6% fall in the third quarter of 2019. And this brings the total office rental index to a 3.1% decline for the whole of 2019. So what do the figures reflect with regard to the rental expectations and vacancy numbers?
Well, I think we are at the tipping point of the market now. Generally speaking, vacancy still remains very tight. We have been, what we call, seeing a lot of demand coming in from the tech firms, from the agile market. But at the end of the day, I think it's also methodology, because if you look at URI numbers, they look at what was being transacted. So if your grade A vacancy is tight, what is being transacted in the market over the past 3 months has been grade B or poorer grade buildings. So generally speaking, the rents being transacted would be a shade lower. So that would basically put and explain the corrections. But generally speaking, I think from what we observe for the CBRE's basket and all that, the market has reached a peak. I think the caution that we throw for the office market is that it's not a supply situation, which we think that is abated, is more controllable. But I think post the demand coming from tech, which is, we have enjoyed over the past 12 to 18 months, the demand coming from agile sector, we are finding very hard to pinpoint where is the next source of the demand driver for office.
Hmm. How likely will there be an increase in, say, Singapore's CBD area, though, this year? It's a more cautious market, weak economic outlook, maybe landlords can't increase rents?
Well, I think currently most landlords in the CBD area, they're pretty stable, because vacancies has remained pretty low. And at the same time, there's very limited in the horizon of 12 to 18 months, very limited new supply that will come in to put pressure. That being said, I think the government has done their homework and they've done really well, because CBD rentals has been relatively kept because of the process of decentralization. We've seen the CBD expanding towards Beach Road, expanding towards Tanjung Pagar, no longer just relying on the Marina Bay and
the
area.
Way, yep.
And at the same time, there's a lot of decentralized options for those office occupiers that do not require the CBD locations to save on costs.
Mm-hmm. Well, island-wide, vacancy of office properties tracked by URA stood at 10.5% as of end 2019, improving 0.1 PPT from the third quarter of 2019 and 1.5 PPT from the fourth quarter of 2018. What were the main drivers for the healthy net absorption in 2018 and the 2019 sectors?
Well, I think the star performance for the past 12 to 18 months, I think, as I mentioned, has been tech firms.
Co-working spaces.
Mm-hmm. And co-working spaces also has been boosted by tech firms and small startups.
Mm.
So I think Singapore really benefits from a very strong startup culture, very good government support for small to medium enterprises. And that has been basically creating a lot of pre-commitments or committed space for the co-working market. So these two sectors has been really helping to shore up demand. But we are seeing that come to the point of a saturation. So we are putting a little bit of caution because, as we know, tech, you are basically, you have to be number one on the number two tech firms. If not, you would just fizzle out.
Mm-hmm.
And agile space is basically, we all see that even venture capital has also started to slow down. So I think it's still healthy, but I think the strong boost for taking up space is basically slowing down.
So peter out by 2020, even though the MAS is set to announce the applications for the 5 digital banking license, that won't help the support tech.
That would definitely come
growth.
In and help the tech, no, but for digital banking, the key thing is that they might not necessarily
need
take
office space.
That was Desmond Sim, CBRE's Head of Research, Southeast Asia Interim Head, consulting Singapore with insights into the latest property headlines from the past week. And Desmond, thank you very much for coming to the studio.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.